Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Two major transgender cases unfolded in New York and California. Let's start in California, where a divided Supreme Court temporarily blocked the state's public school teachers from outing transgender students to their parents without consent.
And the state says the students have the right to privacy, especially if they fear rejection from their families. Now, to break this all down, this move by the Supreme Court, we are joined by Dean of UC Berkeley Law, Erwin Chemerinsky. First, can you explain, this was granted on emergency appeal, and what does the order say?
It's important to start with the California law, AB 1955. It said that a school cannot require that its employees notify parents about their children's transgender status or gender pronouns without consent of the children. And what the Supreme Court said here is that parents have a right to control the religious upbringing of their children, and thus you can't limit the ability of parents to receive this information.
Okay, so how do the teachers play into this?
There's a separate claim that teachers should have a right to be able to tell parents, and the Supreme Court didn't rule on that. What this is about is that a school now could tell its teachers that they do have to inform parents with regard to the gender identity or gender pronouns of their children, and then the employees will have to do that.
The Supreme Court ruled. Can California appeal? This is it?
Well, this is it for now. I mean, it's important to recognize this is a ruling on the Supreme Court's emergency docket. The case goes back to the lower court. What's the difference is that while it's being litigated in the Federal Court of Appeal, the California law will not be in effect.
So what prompted the court to take this up?
This is a court that is very protective of religious freedom, and to be blunt, has been very hostile to the rights of transgender individuals. And as presented to the court, it was a tension between the right of parents to control the religious upbringing of their children as opposed to the rights of privacy of transgender children. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, along ideological lines, ruled in favor of the parents.
So can you read into this and maybe extrapolate something that may have to do with transgender people in sports?
I think this is part of a court being very hostile to transgender individuals. Last June, the Supreme Court ruled that a state can prohibit gender-affirming care for transgender youth. Last spring, the Supreme Court ruled that President Trump could bar transgender individuals from serving in the military. I predict the Supreme Court will uphold state laws that prohibit transgender girls and women from participating in girls and women's sports. That was two cases that were argued to the Supreme Court in January of this year.
And going forward, I mean, do we know when it might come back to the Supreme Court then?
This issue now is in the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. It's going to have briefing and oral argument. It will take months to have it decided. And then it can go back to the Supreme Court. But today's ruling is a strong indication that justices 6-3 are going to rule that parents have a right to know the gender identity and gender pronouns of their children, and any law that restricts their knowing that is likely to be declared unconstitutional.
And here's the New York story.
It was just 2 weeks ago that we told you about NYU Langone closing its transgender youth health program. Well, now New York's Attorney General Letitia James is ordering the hospital to resume that program and continue providing gender-affirming care for young patients. The shutdown came after the federal government had threatened to pull funding from facilities that offer gender-related care to minors. In a letter, the Attorney General's office argues that the hospital cannot bar one category of patient from treatment and that remain available to others, and it instructs NYU Langone to comply within 10 days. If the hospital refuses to do so, that could mean further action and a possible investigation. We reached out to NYU Langone for comment.
If all the dark news lately has you looking for a reprieve, you may want to consider adding a pet. And here's why with Patty Vitale.
My name is Preeti Malani. I'm a physician at the University of Michigan. Well, we were interested interested in how pets, dogs and cats and other companion animals could offer a benefit for older adults in terms of not just companionship, but health, physical, mental, and social well-being.
And what'd you find?
Well, it's interesting that we asked pet owners, like, what do they love about having a pet? What are the benefits in their day-to-day lives? And they were very clear that the pet gave them a sense of purpose, helped them enjoy life. They connected them with others. They even reduced stress. And of course, pets help them stay physically active and stick to a routine. Now, we also noted that about 30% of pet owners said that, and again, these are pet owners that are 50 and older, that pets can have a strain on their budget. And this is something to consider since animals require care. They require veterinary care. They can get sick. And so this is always a consideration. And, you know, one thing we were interested in, too, is the reasons people maybe don't have pets. And, you know, again, there are lots of reasons for people, but some of it is just that they feel like pets are a little bit too much work. And sometimes it's easier to go play with the neighbor's dog or to maybe pet sit or even foster animals.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And boy, when the humans move away and you just find yourself alone, pets can fill that void in a healthy way.
Absolutely, Pat. And I think one thing that people should think about when they're deciding whether to add a fur baby to their family is to think about their lifestyle, the activity level of the animal, and their health needs. I mean, you mentioned that you adopted an older pet, for example. Pets can live for a long time, and older adults should also think about how their lives might change in 5, 10, even 15 years, and whether those changes could impact their ability to care for a pet long term.
People who have chosen not to have a pet, cost is a big reason there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they're part of our family. So if they get sick, you know, we want them cared for.
The bond that humans have with animals in general, you know, dogs, cats. Heck, my sister was telling me the other day her bird is going to be 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, my gosh. But what makes that bond so special? Others think we're crazy.
Yeah, I think around the world, people do sometimes think we're a little extreme with our pets. But, you know, people talk about animals making them feel loved, reducing stress. For my own family, I know that no matter how bad, how stressful, how difficult things are outside of our day-to-day lives or at work, you come home and your pet is happy to see you. And, you know, there's just probably no human that can quite say the same.
You know, just talking about reducing stress, I've often read that even just petting a dog or cat is comforting.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the therapy dogs, right? We see them, in these tragic situations. What do? They bring in these trained therapy dogs to help provide comfort to people who've been traumatized for whatever reason.
Dr. Malani, where do we go from here? What do you want people to take away from the research?
Well, I want healthcare professionals to also understand that for many older adults, companion animals are not just pets, but they're members of their family. And sometimes caring for a pet can even be a barrier to receiving recommended care. And so ask people about their pets and their responsibilities as caregivers. And then for everyone else, like, you know, animals are amazing creatures. And maybe a pet is for you, maybe it's not for you, but you can always get some joy by spending time with a friend or family member's pet if it's not in your own ability to have a pet.
You know, just backing up on something you said, what do you mean by that? That it could be sometimes a barrier to care?
Well, and again, thinking about some of the patients that I've cared for over the years, for example, someone might be hesitant to have surgery because there's no one to care for their pet while they recover. They may be really concerned that they're in the hospital and their pet is at home and there's not someone to care for them. And so I think, again, a healthcare professional should be thinking about this and involving neighbors, friends, even social workers to help address those concerns so that we can support the well-being of the older adult that maybe needs some care, but they're worried about their dog at home.
You know, just talking about the pet, for me to travel to see my son, just getting my dog sitter situated is...
That's right.
Oh.
And those are the types of things that I think people should be aware of. It's not just like, hey, let me bring in this cute little fur baby.
Right.
Is that, you know, if you travel a lot, and I think, again, sometimes with older adults, they're retired and looking forward to taking long trips, dealing with boarding, dealing with the veterinary care, dealing with medications. You know, it can be complicated, especially if a pet has special needs.
Yeah. When I saw how people in Japan treat their animals, I was, like, put to shame. I thought I spoiled mine, but, oh, they dress them up, they take them in strollers, they...
Yes, yeah. Well, people do that here sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Sometimes.
My grandmother used to say, in my next life, I want to be a dog in America.
Another thing that releases stress is travel. And it turns out more of us may be heading out for spring break this year than usual.
Speaking with Adrian Woodland of AAA Michigan, and you guys have out a new survey about travel. And I imagine it was taken before this war started, but it does sound optimistic. What did you find?
No, we found an increase in the number that are planning several trips for the year, as well as their intentions to plan. And we also noticed there's an urgent need for travelers to better protect their plans.
And are you surprised by this, given that, you know, things are costing more these days?
You know, travel demand has continued to grow over the past few years, and it continues to hold on, with more Americans planning multiple trips, earlier planning, and making sure that you have the right protection is essential. About 36% are planning more vacations this year than last year, and about 44% plan to take two or three getaways in 2026, and only about 22% are planning to skip a vacation entirely.
And where's everybody going?
So again, with destinations, of course, during the year, holiday periods remain really popular. There's strong intent for spring break trips, for traveling during Thanksgiving, as well as traveling during the year and holidays. In terms of where they're going, the top planned vacation types are road trips. About 47% say they're planning a road trip. Beach destinations are really popular, with about 38% planning a beach destination. National and state parks are extremely popular, as well as major metro areas.
And you recommend that people buy travel insurance. Do a lot of people do that?
And from the survey, we found that only about 26% of travelers plan to purchase travel insurance, and about 21% are unsure whether they will buy it or not.
And so they can run into problems then if they don't, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had about 25% of those surveyed said that they were not informed about travel insurance benefits. And that lack of awareness can lead to costly surprises. While most residents know insurance can cover things like lost luggage, flight and flight cancellations, many did not know or were not aware that the policies may offer compensation for flight delays as short as 3 hours.
And are people using travel agents?
So travelers are learning more about travel agents. The survey showed that about 78% of Michigan residents find travel agents valuable, and that's a sign that travelers are increasingly wanting professionals to support and help optimize their vacations.
Now, with this war that just started, do you expect that it may affect people's travel plans, since gas is more expensive and everything is, really?
Well, when it comes to, if folks may make some changes when it comes to international travel, what we found, and this goes back, you know, many, many years, is we found that even when gas prices rise, people still want to take their vacations. So they're still going to find a way to take their trips. They may look for ways to save with other things. So they may take a trip. They may not eat out as much, or they may change some of their activities. But we found, and this is going back over 20-something years, that when gas prices rise, people still want to take their trip. And again, that's why it's really important to work with a trusted travel agent, and they can help, you know, direct you to the right destinations. And again, they know a lot of important stuff that can help you make the best with your vacation planning.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.